You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Thank you, Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I want to talk to you this morning just for a few moments on great acts. Great acts. You may be seated. Thank the gentleman that prayed this morning. There's a lot of things that we perceive as being great within our lives. And those things may include where you might say that you have a great spouse, or you have great family, or you've got a great job, or you've got great health, or you're having great fellowship, or that was a great steak. Great, great seafood chowder. These are maybe things I'd like to have today. A great meal. We use that word where we use it so easily and sometimes so often, where someone might say to you, how are you today? And you might respond with, doing great. How are things going? Going great. Maybe that's why when you look up the word in the dictionary as an adjective, it has easily 15 different definitions of the same word. We use it so often, and because we use the word so freely and so often, sometimes it can cause us to lose maybe the significance of the word when it says within the book of Acts how things are great. The great acts of the book of Acts, or the great acts of the apostles. When you read the book of Acts, the word great is used often and with multiple meanings. But this morning I want to focus in on one of those meanings that's shared in five different instances within the book of Acts. The meaning of the word megas, which literally and figuratively means big. The very application speaks of exceedingly or large or loud or mighty or strong. It's not just it was a great day or it was a great meal, but there's something powerful that's used within the book of Acts when it uses the word great. Great. Five instances. The first instance is in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, and it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The power that they received from the power of the Holy Ghost, as it was stated in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. They were given a special ability. This wasn't just normal. This just wasn't the status quo. This wasn't just ordinary church or ordinary events. Miracles would happen to give proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This was the main point that was particularly to be proved, that he was slain and buried. Many knew that. That he rose again from the dead, some knew that. But it was necessary to give a convincing proof that everybody could know what the power, the great power of God represented. And when the Bible says, and great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, this was great power and divine demonstration of the miraculous, that the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ had happened. Let me tell you, church, if there's something that church needs in 2024, is a demonstration of great power of the move of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about ordinary church. I'm not talking just about attendance. I'm talking about the miraculous, where God's great power is demonstrated within our lives in a daily basis. What is needed is great power so that everybody can know about the resurrected Savior. It's not just enough to make a statement. It's not just enough to show someone even a scripture. We want great power to be demonstrated, an exceedingly large, a mighty, and a strong move of the great power of God, that when someone walks through the doors a certain way and desires to be changed, they walk out a different way. When someone steps into the altar and desires to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there is a great power that comes upon them and fills them to overflowing. I'm not interested in little power. I'm not interested in light power. I'm not interested in superficial power. I'm not interested in fabricated power. I'm not interested in made up power. I'm interested in great power that was gave to the apostles of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is proof that he has risen from the dead. The very same verse gives us the second instance that I'll share with you this morning. And with great power gave the apostles a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The word grace means favor. You can look at John chapter 1 and 14 and verse 16, where John writes that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Verse 16 says, grace for grace. We have received under the gospel a grace or a favor instead of what was under the law. And we as Christians have received the grace or favor to be like him in meekness, humility, etc. We have received grace freely. We didn't purchase it. We don't deserve it. And you can't get it any other way but receiving it freely from him. The meaning is that we have received through him an abundance of grace or favor. When the Hebrews, when they repeated something, it was to repeat the word to make sure that it was emphasized and people would see the significance of that word, that favor. When he says grace for grace, there's an emphasis that's put upon it, that you have found favor, not just any favor where someone likes you, that someone has you as an acquaintance. I'm not talking about that type of favor this morning, where someone lets you go in front of them in line. I'm not talking about that type of favor. I'm talking about grace for grace, that it was great grace. You found favor with him, that you were on the outside and he brought you on the inside. He adopted you into his family. He grafted you into his vine. He filled you with his spirit. He sealed you with his sealing power, the power of the Holy Ghost. This is great grace. The expression means that the favor of God was remarkably shown to them, and great favor was shown in the sight of the people. When they came in contact with God, something happened that day that everybody took notice that this people is a favor people of God. I'm not talking about having a monopoly on God. I'm talking about having a favor with God, that when you give your life to him, it's great grace. We got to get beyond just the word Christian. That's used by a lot of people, and it's lost the emphasis. Christian means Christ-like. The needs of 2024 is to have God open the avenues of great grace, favor in our communities, favor in our up and down our street, favor in your workplace, favor with the people you communicate with every day. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm talking about great grace. That when you walk into the room, not because of conceit, not because you're arrogant, None of those things. But rather the opposite. When you walk into the room, there's an understanding that there's great grace upon you. And it's not just an ordinary someone who calls the Lord into their life and says, I serve God. I'm not talking about that type. Amen. I'm talking about a relationship with Him that goes to a depth that you have favor with Him. Hallelujah. Not because you're better than anyone else. It's because that His grace has been put upon you. The grace that is sufficient. I'm not worried about people thinking that I'm conceited or arrogant or all those things. I way past that a long time ago. I found favor with God, and I'm glad I found favor with God. And everyone in this room can have favor with God. And when we stepped into this city 12 years ago, I said, God, I need a word for this city. And Brother Cromwell met me one day for lunch. He said, God gave me a word to give you for this city. I said, what is it? I want to hear it. I've been asking God for it. He said, you're the gatekeeper of the city. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with my upbringing, where I was born and who I was born to. It has nothing to do with position. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with great grace in this city. Hallelujah. I claim to be the pastor of everybody in this city, no matter what church they attend, whether they attend or don't attend. I claim to be their pastor because God has given great grace in this city to the people of this city. And I don't have no problem saying it. And if people don't like that, I feel bad for you. I'm not interested in just being a preacher. I'm not interested in just receiving a salary. I'm not interested in having what some people think is a one day a week job. I want great grace, favor with Him, the same way the apostles had in the book of Acts. Thirdly, Acts chapter 5, verse 5 says, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Verse 11 says, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. The sin of Ananias and Sapphira was no ordinary magnitude, else God would have visited in such a way as He did. It wasn't just ordinary. The Bible states that they lied to the Holy Ghost. And Peter must have had some power to discern the state of the heart of both Ananias and Sapphira in that crucial moment, the gift of discernment. It was in operation for sure. And such a striking and awful judgment on insincerity and hypocrisy was created with very strong emotions amongst them that day. And Bible says when they ended up carrying both of those people out because they lied to the Holy Ghost, they died. Great fear came on all the church. And in 2024, the church must return to an understanding that God is in charge. He's sovereign. He reigns. He's omnipotent. I'm not talking about a fear of being afraid. I'm talking of a fear of being in awe of a powerful God. See, sometimes people believe that in the Old Testament, it's an example of commandments and judgment. And the New Testament is an example of God as love. God doesn't change. The Old Testament and New Testament, He is a God of commandments, judgment, and love. He doesn't change. He still requires. And when we get back to an awe and a reverence of great fear of Him, there's something powerful that happens with that. Amen. He's merciful, and I'm thankful that He's merciful. I'm thankful that He's long-suffering. I'm thankful for that. Amen. But there's too many people that have lost the fear of God, that step outside of the umbrella of the authority of God and the protection of God and are out from underneath the covering of God. There's a return that's needed, church. A great fear of God where we are in awe of Him and we realize that he's sovereign and he's powerful. And there is coming a day, hallelujah, that he's returning for his church. I don't want to try to just get in. I don't want it to be that I just make it. No. I want there to be something that rises in us as a congregation of the awe of his presence. And when you step into his presence, there is an awe of God. And there is an awe of the Holy Ghost and the authority of his word. Oh, we're not putting our focus on man. We're not putting our focus on the position of man. We're putting our focus on him and him alone. He is in charge. The focus that day in Acts chapter 5 wasn't Peter. Peter just happened to call it out. The focus was not Peter. The focus was there was an all-powerful God. It wasn't Peter that killed Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Ghost. Great fear. I'm talking about exceedingly large, loud, mighty, and great fear that comes upon the people of God. Fourthly, Acts chapter 6, verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Fourthly, great wonders. This is not just normal things. This is the working of the supernatural. This is not prefabricated events within a congregation. This is when nothing else can be credited except for the power of an almighty God. I'm not talking about you giving a word to someone because someone else told you something. I'm talking about when God steps into a situation that no one has knowledge of. And he puts his finger into that situation and lets it be solved. I'm talking about when God takes someone who's addicted, amen, and cleanses them immediately and takes away all cravings and all addictions and helps them change their habits. I'm talking about someone that came from an abusive situation and the healing balm of Gilead is applied to their life and automatically there is a transformation that happens where there's healing that comes to the person's spirit and to their mind and to their soul. Talking about the supernatural with the miraculous and healings and miracles. Stephen was not an apostle, but rather a man chosen by the apostles. Someone who had an honest report, full of wisdom and full of the Holy Ghost. We need an empowerment of the laity of the church. Hear me this morning. This is not about two or three leading. Great acts were not just done by the apostles. Stephen was chosen by the apostles. It's beyond the leadership, the ministry, the staff. It's a rejuvenation of the congregation, the saints of God, where we all realize that we can allow our lives to be in such a way that great wonders happen through your life on a daily basis, where each day is an opportunity for the supernatural working of God's power through our lives. No different than Stephen, a man chosen by leadership to excel in great wonders within his community. We should be coming every Sunday to celebrate what God has done through each and every person's life that's in this building. We're not just coming to get ourselves resaved and all that stuff. We're coming to celebrate the great wonders that God's done through your life on a daily basis this past week. It's not just about three or four. It's about a whole family of God, a whole congregation where great wonders are the commonplace in your life. I hope and pray that not all of you have the same fate as Stephen and be stoned to death. But even in that event, He looked up towards heaven and forgave them for what they were doing. You talk about a great wonder that happened even in that event. Music come. Lastly, Acts chapter 8 and verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. There was great joy in that city. This joy arose from the fact that so many persons before sick and afflicted were restored to health, from the conversion of individuals to Christ, from the mutual joy of family and friends and their friends being converted. There was a revival that was happening in the book of Acts. I want you to notice that each of the five events that I spoke to you about that were great happened between the outpouring of His Spirit and when persecution was going to happen in the church. This is from Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 8. There's many more examples of great within the book of Acts. But I'm talking about great power, great grace, great fear, great wonders, and great joy that happened in this window that took the church to the next level. It took the church to the next plateau. I'm not interested in ordinary church. You can watch ordinary church online somewhere. I'm not interested in ordinary church. I'm not interested in us having a nice little club. Not interested. You've got the wrong pastor if that's the case. I'm not interested in just being another denomination. No, I'm interested in great power. I'm interested in great grace, a great fear, great wonders, and great joy within the congregation of the saints of God. I'm interested in us going to the next level. And the Totally France said, to accomplish great things, we must not only act, but also dream. Not only plan, but also believe. George Eliot said, great things are done by impulse. Are not done by impulse, but by a series of small things brought together. Where everybody in this room gets in the same mindset. We are not satisfied with Patty Cake Church. Not interested. In 2024, it's not going to be enough. We can sing our three or four songs, and we can give a nice little sermonette and go home for another week and hope everybody survives. Or we can approach it that we're coming after great power. We're coming after great grace, great fear, great wonders, and great joy. Dwight Moody said, there are many of us that are willing to do great things for the Lord, but few of us that are willing to do the little things that make us great. The things where we're unwilling to stop our prayer time until we break through. The things where we're unwilling to have someone else do all the praying for us. And we get our lives to where God wants us to be as individuals. The little things where we're not just floating on the atmosphere that's been created by a few. Oh, no, no. Listen, I don't come to church depending on what everyone else does when it comes to worship and praise. I've come to praise Him myself, whether there's 10 people here or 500 people here. It doesn't change how I've come to church. Your desire has to go to the next level. I'm not depending on just the elders of the past and them I love and I'm thankful for. I'm not depending on just the energy of our young people. And thank God for the energy of our young people. 60 of them decided to stay here all night Friday. Sorry, young people. The pastor's getting beyond those days. Especially if I plan to do anything the next day. But I'm thankful for the energy of our young people. But I don't come to church just depending on the elders of the past or the energy of our youth of the present. I've come for great power for me. Come for great grace for me. I want great fear, awe for me. I want great wonders for me. I want great joy for me. And I wish there was a few hundred people sitting in this room right now that said, Pastor, we're behind you for the same things, those great and precious promises that he has given not just to the Jewish nation, but Peter has emphasized that those have been now opened up to everybody, to even the Gentiles that most of us would fall under. And Peter is saying, listen, this is not just for a few. This was not just for a book of Acts. These are great and precious promises that you and I all can possess this morning. Stand if you would. The glorious power Peter's talking about that has been given exceeding great and invaluable promises. Things that you and I can't really even explain at times. Where you walk into the instance of someone who's not well and instantaneously they are healed. Benjamin, I thank God for his miraculous power that the church can pray over your mom in another country in the world. And God can allow the people of God to connect with the Almighty God and allow there to be great power and great wonders that transcend space and time and a testimony of his miracle working power happens. As I greeted him this morning, I could sense great joy all over Benjamin today because of the great power and the great wonders of an almighty God that allowed his mom to be restored. Yeah. So I just ask you to fill this altar this morning. It's got to be for you. It's got to be your desire. It's got to be your longing. It's got to be you that's searching. That's got to be you that's going after. It's got to be you this morning that won't be satisfied. You won't be satisfied with the status quo or the ordinary or the mundane of day to day. No, you have a longing for great power. Hallelujah. You have a longing for great grace. You have a longing for great fear, great wonders, great joy, the Acts, amen, that were great in the book of Acts.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.